courtesy of the United States Air Force.
A smooth, close Barbasol shave in the morning lifts your confidence. That rich, creamy lather will catapult you to greatness. Nothing can stop you today. Well, except that traffic jam. Barbasol, it's a can of can-do.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to CleanOrigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to CleanOrigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's CleanOrigin.com, code RADIO10.
Pluto TV is as easy as it is free, and it's totally free. With over 300 channels and thousands of TV shows and movies, finding what you love has never been easier. Just download the app. Pluto TV. Stream now, pay never.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Opening statements have wrapped up in the New York hush money trial of Donald Trump.
Todd Blanch, his attorney, said to the jury, you know, he's not just the former president. He's not just the man that you've seen on TV with The Apprentice. And what Todd said was he's a man, he is a husband, and he is a father. And it was a really striking line that I think was going to be tried to use to counter some of these really salacious, these really raunchy details.
ABC's Olivia Rubin in New York. The Supreme Court is expected to hear arguments later this week whether Mr. Trump should get immunity from prosecution for anything that he did while president. Today, the justices weighed whether it's legal to arrest or to fine homeless people who sleep outside when there is available shelter space where they are. There's no word yet if the U.S. is going to sanction a certain IDF unit accused of committing human rights abuses in the West Bank. The Dow's up 321 points heading for the close. This is ABC News. A new report reveals which continent is getting hotter faster.
Climate scientists for the UN and the EU say Europe is the fastest warming continent on the planet, and that its temperatures are rising at roughly twice the global average. A new report issued on this Earth Day in hopes it will spur countries to do more to speed up the transition from fossil fuels to renewable resources like wind, solar, and hydroelectric power. Europe did generate 43% of its electricity from renewables last year, up from about 36% the year before. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Big win for the UAW. More than 70% of workers at a Volkswagen plant in Tennessee voted to join the union. It's the first time a Southern factory owned by a foreign automaker is unionized. There are 8 new inductees into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Ozzy Osbourne, Mary J. Blige, A Tribe Called Quest, and Peter Frampton among them. The induction ceremony will take place in October. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
If you need bold banners to boost your business, but you're on a budget, think Staples. Posters, flyers, signs, and menus for less? Think Staples. Staples can print anything you need to move your business forward. Now at Staples, save $50 on your print purchase of $150 or more. Same day service available on hundreds of items if you order by noon. And all backed by Staples' Print Perfect Guarantee. So it's done right or it's printed again free. Staples, your local print and marketing expert. N61, visit staples.com/print for details.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you know that these days, generating growth is a challenge. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll not just stay ahead of the curve, you'll move it. With access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2024 Bank of America N.A.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. Two crashes in 2 days involving Milwaukee County transit buses have killed 2 people and injured several more. The first crash happened when a speeding car ran a red light and collided with the bus around midnight Friday on Milwaukee's west side. The driver of the car, identified as Brandon Lewis, died at the scene, while the bus driver and 2 riders were hospitalized but are expected to survive. The second crash on Saturday night on Milwaukee's northwest side killed a passenger in the car that hit the bus, while the car's driver and another passenger suffered life-threatening injuries. The 7 riders on the bus received non-life-threatening injuries. The Driver of the car is in custody with charges pending. An update on the search for 3-year-old Elijah Vu. Two Rivers police said Friday officers undertook further river searches utilizing kayaks. Sonar searches were also conducted in the water. Police also reported that the Wisconsin Department of Criminal Investigation and Manitowoc County Sheriff's Office looked for Elijah on local agricultural land. Aerial searches were also conducted by the FBI and the Wisconsin Drone Network, which did an extensive and expanded search of the area. Saturday marked 2 months since the toddler was reported missing. A 23-year-old man has been taken into custody in connection with the death of a woman along a Janesville hiking and biking trail. Police say the 22-year-old woman's body was found Wednesday along the Peace Trail on the city's south side. Police say the suspect knew the woman and had a relationship with her that at some point had soured. Police add that the two had a child together. A search warrant executed on the suspect's home turned up evidence police say connects him to the woman's death. He's being held at the Rock County Jail on suspicion of first-degree intentional homicide. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Every tractor owner knows that support and service after the sale is what makes a good tractor company great. That's what you can count on from LS Tractor. An extensive dealer network gives you convenient access to genuine LS Tractor factory parts and factory-trained technicians, keeping you in the tractor, not in the waiting room. Schedule your service with Synergy Co-op, your LS Tractor certified service center. LS Tractor, simply more.
Customer-owned, community-minded.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Clouds increasing today as high temperatures strike the upper 60s, thanks to the southwest winds pulling in the warmth but gusting up to 30 miles per hour. With an elevated fire risk today, it's a good thing that showers roll in late this afternoon. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, 66 degrees.
For another program, I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up on our show, let's talk markets in just a moment with Darren Newsom, Senior Market Analyst with Bar Chart. In segment two, we're going to get an update on the weather. Had a lot of frost advisories and freeze warnings over the weekend, and still seeing some of that cold weather hanging around, plus some high winds and more, maybe some severe weather later this week. What are we looking at for planting windows? John Baranek with DTN is going to stop by and give us a rundown of the weather outlook here for the week ahead in segment two. Then coming up in segment three, we saw the news on Friday, the EPA rolling out that emergency waiver for summertime E15 sales. We're going to talk about that and other ethanol-related topics. Brian Jennings, CEO of the American Coalition of Ethanol, is going to join us here after the bottom of the hour for a conversation. And then at the end of the show, we're going to get an update on the wildfire recovery efforts throughout Texas and the Southern Plains. Ryan Morehouse with the Beef Checkoff and Cattlemen's Beef Board is in Texas. He's going to join the show for an update coming up here at the end of AOA today. Brought to you by our friends at Cenex. Hard work, long hours, and extreme conditions aren't new. Cenex Premium Diesel meets the demands of today's toughest engines. Premium diesel to keep you going. Learn more at Cenex.com. Well, let's kick off the show here today and take a look at what is happening in the markets. Darren Newsom, Senior Market Analyst at Bar Chart, joins us. Darren, good to have you back on the show again this week. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, good morning, Jesse. Doing well. Had another nice weekend, and sounds like you've got quite a lineup today. A lot to talk about. It was a very busy weekend.
It was a very busy weekend indeed, and great show here today, of course. And we'll kick it off with you and talk markets. And I want to say, I'll start with this. I love daily on X or the X Twitter or whatever we want to call it now. You post a chart of the day, and it's always fascinating to take a look at these things. And I know you threw up gold here on Monday morning. Gold currently down about $60 an ounce that last I looked. So what's going on in the gold market, Darren? Let's start there.
Yeah, you know, last Friday, I take part in another media outlet's gold poll and discussion every Friday. And at the end of last week, I said, look, this market looks overbought, but I'm not going to be the first one to sell. So I'm going to call it up again this week. And then over the weekend, you know, you were talking about weekend headlines and ag, but over the weekend, we saw where the U.S. House passed a Ukrainian aid bill, also tied to Israel. And it seems like the investment side of the market is viewing this as a decrease in the possibility of chaos, geopolitical chaos. I view it differently because I think the agents of chaos, most notably Russia and China, are going to view this as inflammatory. And I think we're going to see an escalation, but that's not the way the market's viewing it right now. You know, when you have a market like gold at all-time highs, and we're seeing it in coffee as well, but when you have a market like gold that's at all-time highs and it's been pushed, it's been pushed to the levels that it has, all of a sudden you have to figure out where's the next round of buying coming from. And so now we're in a Monday. We've got a long way to go until we start positioning for the next weekend. So there's some time and space for gold to come back down once the reality sets in that, you know, okay, you know, we really still have, you know, problems around the world. They're not going away. They're only going to get worse. Then I think we probably see the buyers come back in at the end of this week.
Interesting. It's been a volatile gold market, no doubt. And you mentioned coffee in there, mm-hmm. cocoa, crude, all these mm-hmm. outside markets have been volatile. On the flip side, corn hasn't been volatile there. And corn really hasn't been doing a whole lot. And someone posed a question to me too online this weekend that it feels like there really hasn't been a lot of enthusiasm in the grains for quite some time. And I know you just wrote a piece for Bar Chart as well. Is corn a good long-term investment? Your thoughts on this stagnant corn market is probably the best way I could sum it up right now, Darren.
Stagnant is a great word for it. And we have to remember, this is what corn likes to do. Corn likes to go sideways. Because, you know, even though I know there's a lot of folks that say, yeah, fundamentals change every day, they don't. We haven't seen a fundamental change in corn for quite some time. Now, that being said, we're in a time of year where seasonally basis continues to firm. That's exactly what we're seeing. Future spreads right now are neutral. So there is no real fundamental change. To me, the biggest factor in the corn market at this point is the large net short future position held by non-commercial traders. Last Friday, CFTC report, commitments of traders report, again, legacy futures only, showed this group had actually increased their net short by an interesting number, 14,666. I always get a kick out of it when that sort of thing happens, pushing it to almost 205,000 contracts. This despite the fact that we really didn't see much change in the futures market from a Tuesday to Tuesday a week ago. So that tells us that, you know, with that type of non-commercial selling and not much change in the futures market, there's a lot more support coming from the commercial side. So why would that be? They still need short-term supplies. Again, we can see that in basis. So they're supporting the market against this non-commercial selling. And we have short-term demand. We have, and the idea is producers are going to be going out to the field. So the trucks moving to these end users are going to start to slow down. So, you know, the market all kind of makes sense in here. But to me, if funds give or get a reason to start covering this short, and there's no selling on top of it, that could be the next move. That could be what finally breaks corn out of this stagnant trend that you talked about.
Wheat's up a bit here to start the week. I know there's chatter out there about weather concerns in Europe mm-hmm. and in Kansas and the plains. Is that the main catalyst, do you think, Darren, in this wheat market, or is there something else underlying here to start
Fundamentally, there's nothing to get excited about. So I think it does come down to weather. We saw some freezing temperatures across the plains this past weekend, both on Saturday morning and Sunday morning. We also saw, again, going back to last Friday's CFTC reports, we saw where funds had increased both their Chicago and Kansas City net short futures positions. Not a huge surprise given how bearish some of the future spreads are, particularly in Chicago. But if there is a concern about weather, it's just the latest in a long line of freezes that we've seen. It's just, you know, this one comes in late April. So I think there is some buying connected to that. From a technical point of view, we are seeing July Kansas City getting ready for a bullish breakout if it can get through some previous highs. And you know, given that so much of this trade is based on algorithms, that could be enough to trigger some of the buying. Again, like what we talked about with corn, some of this short, non-commercial short covering. And again, that could boost the market even if fundamentals haven't changed all that much.
Real quick, cattle, we had that on-feed report Friday afternoon, neutral to maybe slightly bullish. Feels like futures are higher Monday morning. Feels like Nothing to see here as expected, at least in my mind, Darren.
Yeah, I agree. The report basically just confirmed what we saw with future spreads and cash markets and futures markets during the course of March. So again, there really wasn't any surprise. We saw right off the bat this morning, there was some fund buying tied to this, not a great amount. I would look for the market to settle a little bit. Not much happening in cash towards the end of last week or the boxed beef market. So yeah, I think it's mostly, as you said, not much to see here.
Folks can learn more at DarrenNewsom.com with that senior market analyst with Bar Chart, Darren Newsom. Always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us on AOA, Darren. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on again, Jesse.
All right, coming up next on AOA, brought to you by CentX. Not all grease created equal. Find more at CentX.com. We'll talk weather with DTN meteorologist John Baranek on the way right after this. Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, as we discuss how cooperatives support farmers and ranchers and build strong communities. Each week, we'll chat with voices from throughout the cooperative system. From global market access to local expertise, we'll explore how co-op ownership means you own a world of opportunities. Tune in on Tuesdays or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted car to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-560-3870. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your car donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-560-3870. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-560-3870 to donate your unwanted card.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, let's turn our attention to the weather. How are things looking here as we get into this upcoming week and really into the back half of April? Spring planting season should be well underway in many areas or close to it. Welcome back to AOA. Jesse Allen with you here. Show brought to you by CentX, premium diesel and premium lubricants. Downtime's a waste. Keep your equipment running smoothly by using high-quality CentX premium diesel fuel. Learn more at CentX.com. Joining us now, DTN meteorologist John Baranek is with us. John, thanks for joining us, and hope you had a good weekend. Sound like a lot of areas had some pretty frosty temperatures for much of the country, John.
Yeah, it was a little chilly here for a lot of us. We had this kind of some frost out there in the southwestern plains, but I think a lot of folks, you know, around the Midwest were a little surprised, a little kind of, I don't know if they were dumbfounded, but just, you know, it's been so warm that you get a couple of frosty mornings like, hey, where'd this come from? So, yeah, we had it was a little chilly, and we'll get another burst of some chilly weather there, especially across the Midwest for Wednesday and Thursday. But, you know, and it's spring, right? We should expect some up and down temperatures. That happens.
Yeah, it does happen. I think, thankfully, for the most part, a lot of that seed that might be in the ground already, or there's a lot of areas where there's not some in yet where it got really cold. So I don't think, and this is me putting on my very basic agronomy hat, I don't think that the cold and the frost is going to do much of any damage to some of that early planted crop, John.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Unless there was somebody out in the Dakotas that had something that was fairly well developed at this point, which is kind of hard to say that they did. I mean, it was a lot of light frost, right? The lows got down to about 32 or 30 degrees here across the Midwest and southwestern plains. So I don't think it really caused a whole lot of damage. I think maybe for those folks that have some wheat that's a little bit more advanced out there in kind of western Kansas or eastern Colorado, possibly. But overall, I would say a non-event for any sort of damage or you know, fears about needing to do any replanting or anything like that. It's just too early on in the growing cycle for any of that. So hopefully, and probably too early for folks to really care too much about planting, right? You know, if it just got down to 32 degrees, you know, daytime highs are in the 50s or 60s or 70s in some spots. So overall, it's, you know, I would say pretty decent weather at the moment.
It has been. You mentioned Kansas. I want to ask you about that area, the Central Plains into the Southern Plains, real quick. We talked about this with Darren in segment one. Maybe these wheat markets getting a little concerned about weather in that part of the country. I've heard some chatter from some folks just how dry it's been overall in some of that KC wheat country. I know there's some concerns over in Europe too, in wheat country here the last couple of days. I mean, but focusing on the Central Plains, are you hearing some of those same concerns from farmers with just the current weather situation?
Yeah, there's a lot of weather concerns for wheat pretty much worldwide right now, which is kind of amazing. You know, the last couple of years, it's been kind of ho-hum about that outside of what's been going on here in the U.S. And yeah, unfortunately, again, here in the U.S., it's not great either, especially when you get out to the plains in the hard red winter wheat areas in Kansas. It's been a really active spring, lots of systems moving through and plenty of rainfall for a lot of areas, but not there. Everything's been kind of just passing over them. You get, you know, a quarter inch here or there every other week, and that doesn't really amount to much. And, you know, wheat does have a lot of lives to it. And you know, we're getting to the point here where we're getting kind of late in the spring for it to be this dry. And they're going to need some good precipitation here coming up pretty shortly before, you know, things start going off the rails here in a negative direction. I think luckily enough, though, Jesse, we've got some active weather coming for later this week. And that should, you know, at least give them some really good chances here over the next few weeks of getting some good rainfall in there. And it's almost going to be the perfect setup. We're going to get this ridge to move over to the eastern half of the U.S. and Canada, replacing a trough out there that's bringing us our cold. And then we're going to get a bunch of systems coming off the Pacific Ocean to move into the west, kind of develop a little bit, and then move through the plains and Midwest. And it's going to bring quite a bit of precipitation here through early May, at least through early May. We've got at least like a 10 or 14 day stretch. We're going to get system after system, bing, 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 moving through. Very short breaks between them. If we go towards the kind of the first in the series is really starting up here on Thursday, and really is kind of from Canada all the way down to Texas, pretty widespread event here. Starts on Thursday, heads into the Midwest on Friday, and you know, kind of goes through the Great Lakes there on Saturday. And you know, that's putting down, you know, it's showers and thunderstorms, but you know, it's putting down some pretty good chances kind of everywhere that this moves through. And that's going to be good news there for those wheat growers down in Kansas and those other areas that are getting pretty dry. And then right after that, we got another impulse for Saturday, Sunday into Monday over the kind of similar areas, bringing another round of really good rainfall. So if you add it up, we're looking at kind of widespread 1 to 3 inches across the plains and Midwest. You know, we don't really see that kind of very often. So this looks like a pretty good event. And then we've got many more systems in the pipeline for next week and into early May. So things at least look better than they have been for a while here for Kansas. I mean, it just always seems to be that, oh, great, here looks like a good system that is going to happen for Kansas. Looks like they're going to get some rain out of it. Well, then the low center actually goes just north of them and they dry out. Or it's just south of them like the weekend and Texas gets plenty of rain, but they miss out. So, I mean, it's just kind of skipped around them out there. But this, I mean, there's so many in the pipeline, Jesse, that it's going to be hard for them to get missed by everything. So I think we've got some good chances there for them.
We're talking with DTN meteorologist John Baranek here on AOA. And John, thinking about those systems in the pipeline, I'll ask this real quick. As far as planting windows here for the next few weeks ahead, really across the Corn Belt, are we going to be able to find some decent windows to advance that spring planting? What's kind of the longer range 14-day beyond that model's kind of showing you right now, John?
Yeah, and that's the big question, Jesse. Honestly, if you have some decent enough conditions here over the next couple of days where you're thinking about doing it and you're in the plains or you're in the Midwest, man, it seems like, I mean, I hate to give farmers advice because I don't know your situation and everything, and you know well more than I do about what's going on your farm. But and it looks like the next couple of days look great, and thereafter it looks kind of dicey. All these systems are in rapid succession. You know, I talked about through the weekend and into Monday as being kind of, you know, a time period here of some pretty consistent rainfall across a lot of the country. And then you get a day or two break, and then we get another system moving right back in kind of the middle of next week and another one behind that for the weekend after that. So, I mean, the windows between these systems are a day, maybe two, and it doesn't really give you a large time window in between to maybe get things to dry out a bit or have conditions improve. I think if you've got some time over the next couple of days, I'd use it. I'd maximize my time there and just hope that, you know, if you're a little wet now, that we you know, kind of miss out on one or two of these and just get a window in there that you luck out. Otherwise, we're looking towards kind of mid-May as when things hopefully or maybe slow down a bit. We'll see how that actually works out. Models at this time of year here in the spring don't do great on the long-term forecast. Sure. We'll have to kind of keep it going day by day. But the pattern here for about, you know, 10 to 14 day period coming up are going to be pretty wet.
John, we got about a minute. South America, real quick. I know it sounds like the wet season showers in Brazil are effectively over at this point.
That's right, they are. Front came through early to mid last week and shut everything down. We'll still see some isolated showers in Mato Grosso at times, but it's not going to amount to really much of anything. Everything's really shifted north into the Amazon or farther north. And so they're drying out there in Brazil, and that Safrina corn crop is going to have to rely on all that moisture they didn't build up on over the wet season. It's been some good weather over the last couple of weeks, and it's going to be tough for that crop going forward. And on the flip side, Argentina is trying to harvest their corn and soybeans, and they're behind schedule, and everything's been pretty wet. And they've got kind of wet weather continuing down there, at least through this week and probably into next week as well. So things not going so well down in South America at the moment.
Well, we'll keep our eyes on that and the planting windows here in the U.S. Folks can stay up to date with the weather, dtnpf.com. With that, DTN meteorologist John Baranek. John, always good to talk with you. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Jesse. Good to talk to you.
All right, coming up next here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. When the temperature goes down, so can your equipment. Cenex premium diesel fuel built with a balanced additive package to keep equipment moving. Learn more at cenex.com. We'll talk with Brian Jennings from the America Coalition for Ethanol on the way right after the break.
non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. 800-926-1701. That's 800-926-1701.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins at the Mercantile Exchange. May milk up 51 to 1831, June up 39 to 1846, July up 34 to 1867, August up 30 at 1884. Cheese markets were higher once again today. Barrels up 11 to 177, 40-pound blocks up 8 to 176, 5 trade a barrel, 1 trade a block on the day. Cash butter up 8 to 3 even, 15 trades on the day. Grade A non-fat dry milk steady at 112, no trades. Dry whey down a quarter to 39, no trades on the day. Live and feeder cattle markets with triple-digit gains on the day after the cattle on feed report was viewed as bullish. Also, the nervousness and fear surrounding the avian influenza outbreak has run its course through the market, and traders are refocusing on the market's long-term bullish fundamentals. Hog markets mostly higher due to midday pork cutout values moving mostly higher to start the week. April live cattle up 235 to 183.82. April feeder cattle up 157 to 242.90. May hogs up 47 cents to 96.70. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all moving mostly higher. Corn higher due to spillover support from the wheat markets. Also, the weekly export inspections were strong at 1.624 million metric tons. Soybeans also moving up mostly higher due to strength in the oil prices. Wheat following suit higher. New crop corn up 6.25 to 472.5. New crop beans up 10.75.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
As Farmers and Ranchers Informed, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Downtime is a waste. Keep your equipment running smoothly by using high-quality Cenex premium diesel fuel. Learn more online. Just go to Cenex.com. Well, on Friday, we got, as expected, an emergency waiver for summertime sales of E15 gasoline released by the Environmental Protection Agency and the Biden administration, a move hailed by many folks throughout the ethanol and corn industries. And joining us now to discuss that news and more, we have been long overdue for a conversation with the CEO of the American Coalition for Ethanol, Brian Jennings. Brian, welcome back to AOA. Thanks for joining us. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Jesse. I'm doing really well. Thank you.
Well, let's start with the news, of course, from Friday, the EPA emergency waiver allowing E15 this summer, as they've done the last 2 years prior, doing it again here for 2024. And I know this news, welcome news, maybe took us a little longer than we hoped for, but we got this news in time for the summer driving season, didn't we, Brian?
Yeah, Jesse, I thought you described it really well in your intro. This was expected. The signals were pretty clear from the Biden administration, whether we're talking about USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack or some of the people at EPA that we met with or members of Congress. There was the feeling that the conditions were right to enable the Biden administration, as you indicated, for the third time in a row now, to invoke this emergency authority. And there has to be very specific sort of conditions in the fuel market in order for them to invoke this emergency authority. And that has to do with whether there are extreme and unusual circumstances affecting the supply of crude oil and gasoline. And what the administration the past 2 years, Jesse, has used as their rationale for emergency waivers for E15 in the summer has been, of course, the ongoing war between Russia and Ukraine and some of the turmoil that's caused the marketplace. That continues to be the case, of course, and so EPA's letter on Friday indicated that was one of the rationales, again, the ongoing conflict, the war in Ukraine. But then added to that, of course, are the additional concerns we have about conflicts in the Middle East right now, particularly, of course, Gaza's attack on Israel, Israel's response. We have Houthi terrorist rebels that are attacking crude oil shipments in the Red Sea. And so there's a whole nother layer of volatility that's been laid on the marketplace. And so the administration also cited that in their letter. And so we expected this. I know it did come later than I think a lot of people would have liked, but in the past, this announcement didn't come until about this time in April. And so we were sort of expecting it to be about this time of the month, maybe even later. But here's the good news. Every single state in the country can have access to E15 throughout the summer driving season. And that's the most important takeaway here, because E15 is going to save those who choose to use it somewhere between a nickel a gallon, upwards of maybe 20 cents a gallon. And it's also a higher octane, lower carbon fuel. So it's good for everybody.
Definitely good news, Brian. Let's talk about where we go from here, though. I know earlier this year, the Biden administration confirmed that petition from 8 Midwest governors to have year-round E15 in 8 Midwest states, but they postponed that until 2025. And I know we're still working on legislation to make E15 year round nationwide. That feels like kind of the next steps in front of us in terms of E15, right?
You are exactly correct. That's the next logical step that we need to take. Here's the good news. If you live in Illinois or Iowa or South Dakota, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, Ohio, or Wisconsin, if you live in one of those 8 states, this issue is solved for you, because as you just cited, there was a petition from these 8 states, the governors in those states, to permanently allow E15. And so when you combine the fact that they're going to be allowed to use E15 permanently starting next year with this summer waiver, those 8 states are taken care of. So what do we do about the 42 other states that we need badly to have access to this? And that's when it comes to this bipartisan legislation pending in Congress. My group, the American Coalition for Ethanol, had a fly-in to Washington, D.C. Earlier this year, where our top priority was a bill called the Nationwide Consumer and Fuel Retailer Choice Act. And that's authored by Republican Senator Deb Fischer of Nebraska. And it's got bipartisan support, so there's Democrats and Republicans that are supporting this. I think the trick, Jesse, is that this is such a short window in an election year to try to get something done. The feedback we got from our champions on the Hill, Senator Fisher and others, is that let's push for this over the course of the summer months. Let's try to get more co-sponsors for this bill. And then the likelihood is we try to see what we can do in sort of a lame duck session of Congress, meaning after the early November election, is there a must-pass bill this fall that we can sort of hitch a ride on with this E15 legislation? So that is the next logical step to take care of this once and for all, so we don't have to keep relying on these emergency waivers, because the conditions in the fuel market, we hope, frankly, don't always warrant sort of an emergency declaration. So that's our next step is legislation in Congress.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more there. We're talking with the American Coalition for Ethanol CEO, Brian Jennings. Brian, let's talk sustainable aviation fuel, the GREET modeling. This is another topic we're waiting on news on what exactly this is going to look like. The administration, of course, had set their own target deadline of March 1st. That came and went, didn't happen. They said we were going to have a delay here for what they presume to be a few weeks. Any updates on where things stand with this GREET modeling? Have you heard anything in terms of when we might see this news get rolled out?
Both USDA and the EPA officials that we talked to are hopeful that this updated GREET model, and for your listeners, it's the Greenhouse Gases Regulated Emissions and Energy Use and Technologies model developed by the Department of Energy, which is sort of the gold standard for determining the emissions of producing sustainable aviation fuel from sort of any source. They all signal that the expectation is that this updated model will come out sometime this month or early next month. So I think in the next 2 to 3 weeks is what we're looking at. And the details of what we're really needing to pay attention to, Jesse, boil down to the following. On one hand, we know that there will be some carbon credits, so emission reductions from so-called climate smart agriculture practices, which is great. For example, reduced tillage to produce corn, precise use of fertilizer, 4R nutrient management, maybe in some instances cover crops. So that would be a good thing. The counterbalance to that, or the concern that we have about what this updated model might look like for sustainable aviation fuel, Jesse, is what sort of land use change assumptions are going to be made by those who are working on this. And it gets complicated because it's out of the control of USDA. If USDA were the only one doing this, we'd have the model by now, and I think it'd be in really good shape. But you have EPA's hands are in the pot. You have the Department of Energy. You have the Federal Aviation Administration. And then, after all, the ultimate body in charge of this whole thing, because it's a tax credit, is the Department of Treasury. And so we're sort of waiting for all of those government agencies to get their act together and finally come out with this update, so we can know if biodiesel and ethanol can be used as a feedstock to sort of be further refined and processed to produce a sustainable aviation fuel, which could be a gigantic new marketplace for farmers and renewable fuel producers in the country.
Well, and to your point there, so many different hands in the cookie jar, so to speak, here. So having a delay to hopefully, presumably get this right the first time, important, but I will echo some of your concern there. I've heard this from some farmers as well, just some of the, with the climate smart ag piece and the different tillage practices, things like that, maybe some things folks are already doing versus things that folks aren't doing. A little bit of concern to your point about how some of that could get figured out with this new GREET modeling and the tax credits, Brian.
No doubt. I think there are more questions and concerns at this stage than there are answers. And so I think we're all in the same boat. And one of the deepest concerns I have is, okay, what if you allow some of these agricultural practices to qualify? What sort of burden of proof are you going to put on renewable fuel producers and the farmers that are supplying feedstocks to them. And so that's going to be a big deal. It's sort of the verification of this and how much burden of proof is put on everybody.
Yeah, it's, again, with so many stakeholders involved, hoping we get this right here and get it right relatively soon just to get some certainty. But we'll be watching that news, of course. And folks can stay up to date with more info from the America Coalition for Ethanol at ethanol.org. And with that, CEO of ACE, Brian Jennings. Brian, it's always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us. And we'll get you back on the show again real soon, all right?
Thanks so much, Jesse. Take care.
Ryan Jennings with the American Coalition for Ethanol. All right, coming up next, we're going to get an update on the Texas wildfire recovery efforts with Ryan Morehouse from the Cattlemen's Beef Board. He's in Texas. He'll join us next on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel and Premium Lubricants. Learn more at Cenex.com. We'll be back right after this.
Why do so many dogs suffer from weight issues, skin problems, messy poops, and low energy? It could be the popular dog food you put in their bowl each day.
Cody was sleeping a lot, wasn't playing.
She was very lethargic and not moving around.
Dry kibble just wasn't cutting it.
That's why, after more than 45 years of experience of helping dogs make complete health turnarounds, veterinarian Dr. Marty created Nature's Blend. It's a freeze-dried raw dog food made with wholesome ingredients like premium meats, seeds, vegetables, and fruit. And once dog parents switch their pups to Nature's Blend, the results can be astounding.
She's got her energy back. She's running around like she did like 5 years ago.
Miraculously, she's just feeling all around better. She's like a new dog. Thank you, Dr. Marty.
Get your dog started today and save up to 54% off Nature's Blend. Plus, receive a free pack of our best-selling beef liver dog treats. Go to drmartypets.com/good or text good to 511-511. Text good to 511-511. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-230-2777. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-230-2777. That's 800-230-2777. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. 800-230-2777.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-844-903-1744. 1-844-903-1744. That's 1-844-903-1744. Attorney Advertising. William Stepacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Grant, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Young farmers don't listen to the radio, right? Wrong. In a recent survey, 74% of young producers said they get their most important agricultural information from their trusted farm radio station. Surprised? Don't be. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Radio is the perfect companion because it goes with you everywhere. Whether you're in the shop, on the combine, or in the truck, farm radio is right there with you. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Trains are everywhere. You should always expect one, even on private property. Only cross tracks at designated crossings that fit your equipment. If you don't fit, don't commit. Whatever you're operating, secure your load, raise your equipment, and avoid getting stuck or causing damage. Minimize distractions. Remember, noisy equipment drowns out the sound of a train. Unless you're crossing, always keep a safe distance from train tracks. Look, listen, live. For more info, go to oli.org.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Senex. Extreme cold temperatures put your vehicles to the test. Senex premium lubricants are made with quality ingredients to keep you going. Learn more online at senex.com. Well, right now, here on the program, we want to get an update on the recovery efforts in the Texas Panhandle and parts of the plains from the wildfires and the devastating impacts that we saw in the plains region. Joining us now to give us an update, he is in Texas. He's a board member for the Cattlemen's Beef Board, the Beef Checkoff as well. Ryan Morehouse is with us here on the program. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us. Hope you're doing well.
You're doing good. Thank you.
Well, let's start with the Texas wildfire recovery efforts and the Southwestern Plains wildfire recovery efforts. I know such a tragic situation, and luckily we've been able to get those fires under control, but now our attention really turns to recovery. Talk about where recovery efforts kind of stand right now, Ryan, and some of the latest you've seen and heard from folks.
Well, it was a terrible event that happened, and probably backing up a little, you know, these folks went through this 7 years ago, so real recent, and it's been tough. You know, it's been tough on the people, and obviously tough on the animals, and I think recovery wise I think they're recovering. I mean, you know, you're kind of been a lot of donations to that area, feed, and that's in the form of cake and hay, and now they're kind of to the, you know, fencing materials to rebuild some fences, and obviously they've got some charities going just to raise money. A good example, they had a ranch rodeo in Dumas, Texas, which is actually right east of us, about 2 weeks ago, and all the proceeds went to the recovery effort. So I tell you, it's amazing. It's the Texas Panhandle family. When people get in a bind, they really come through and help each other. So it's been really great to watch, but still a terrible incident, especially so close to the last one, for sure.
Well, and thinking about this, and you mentioned a lot of the great and folks pitching in many different ways, you know, in your thoughts, what is the best way for folks to maybe help with these recovery efforts? Is it by just monetary donations? Is it, you know, building supplies? Is it all of the above? Like, what are the best ways that folks who aren't maybe in the Panhandle region, but they want to help, they can help? What's some of the best ways they could do that right now, Ryan?
Well, I mean, there's numerous ways to help. Like you mentioned, I mean, there's been anything from feed in the form of hay, people donating, you know, cake for the cows, and then fencing materials, building materials, like you mentioned, and then there's cash. So the answer to your question is really all of the above, and some great, you know, Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers has got a website and a link you can go to if you just want to give cash. and all that will go to the recovery efforts. You know, that country's gotten a little rain since the fires, and I don't think maybe the whole area, but the folks I talked to, we sit a little west of where the fires were, where we are here. We're in the western panhandle. But I've got some really good friends that were in that eastern panhandle that were affected by the fire, so I stay in touch with them. And, you know, part of that country's greening back up, and really that's really good for the soul, you know, after what happened. And it's, but it's going to take a long time to get that grass reestablished, and it's going to be a long road. But lots of options to donate, and we can, you know, we can share those. Texas Cattle Feeders, all the associations have been real active in helping, you know, set up the center, set up the places you can go to contact people to donate. So, and we can sure share those if we need to.
Well, of course, our thoughts are with folks as they start that slow rebuilding process. And I think about this too, Ryan, and maybe you could shed a little light here. I mean, as far as cattle death loss with the fires, I'm not quite sure how much we ended up seeing. I haven't seen any updated figures there, but I know you think about that tragic side of it coupled with an already tight beef supply. I know that's maybe some concern out there in the cattle industry broadly as well, Ryan.
Yeah, it's terrible. And the timing of this is about as bad as it gets. You know, you had calves on the ground, you know, first part of March, there's a lot of calves on the ground already, and already a tight situation. Now in the nationals, you know, the national picture, probably not as big an effect, but regionally it does have a huge amount effect on the regional supply of cattle. You know, the numbers, I'm like you, I haven't heard an updated number, but you know, somewhere between 5,000 and 10,000, and possibly could have been more. Kind of what I've heard is the ranches that were really affected where that fire came through lost roughly 70-75% of the herds. Now, not all death loss immediately. They tried to save some of those cows, and some of them they end up having to send to the packing plant because they just weren't viable for the future. But you know, if you save 25-30% of your herd, I think in this situation it was pretty. That's kind of what it is, and that's a tough time, tough deal, and a tough time for this to happen, given the high calf prices, given the tight supplies that we have, which contribute to the high prices. So really hard on producers this round for sure, given the economic situation.
Well, a lot of things to watch, as to your point there, always challenges out there we have to deal with. As we kind of wrap up our conversation today, Ryan, just final thoughts from you. Anything that maybe you're excited about, you're working on with the Beef Checkoff right now? I know the Cattlemen's Beef Board's always doing a lot of things. Anything from that side that you're maybe watching right now that you want folks to get excited about as well?
Well, as an officer on the checkoff board, it's been exciting, mainly because, you know, our numbers are a little less too. So you have to do more with less, which has always seemed like the case. As the drought came through and affected the numbers, you had a lot of cows go to market. And so the revenues increased. Well, now you're going to see the revenues decreased as the supply is lower. So just planning for that and working with that and making sure we can do all the things to promote beef demand and, you know, promote research and education with the dollars that we have is kind of our focus right now.
All right. Well, we do appreciate the time. With that, Ryan Morehouse with the Cattlemen's Beef Board Beef Checkoff. Ryan, thanks for joining us and giving us some updates on that Texas wildfire recovery and more. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
And with that, we are up against the clock. We're out of time here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel and Premium Lubricants. Learn more at cenex.com. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us. We work around it and we live around it every day. And we just become desensitized to what's around us.
We go through safety training and, you know, we try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen, but you just never know.
There are so many farmers that I think take for granted all of the underground utilities that are there.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
I mean, we kind of know what's out here, but all at the same time, you just always call.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Whether you're installing drain tile or doing any sort of digging, always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked and have the depth confirmed. That's farming with care. But if a line does get damaged, go somewhere safe and call 911.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to farmsafe811.org.
Teachers are dynamic leaders, shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare.
This year, wouldn't you like to stop feeling self-conscious about your receding hairline or thinning hair? Millions of men and women around the world trust Hair Grow from New Nordic as an effective way to get thicker looking hair. Hair Grow is backed by an exclusive U.S. patent and is clinically proven to promote more hair growth. Ask for Hair Grow at your local Walgreens or shop online at Amazon.com or NewNordicUSA.com. That's New, NordicUSA.com, Amazon, or ask for Hair Grow at your local Walgreens.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter